Wretched Radio begins in 3, 2, 1.
I use the Complete Idiot's Guide to the Bible.
Unqualified.
Why can't my kids come into the service? Because we have PG-13 services.
Unqualified.
That has a nice ring to it. Unqualified. I've always felt that way.
It wasn't a compliment.
Junior church has taken over. It's designed for elementary kids or junior higher.
Who doesn't feel unqualified?
It's time for Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
We are going to go fishing. However, I've got a little bit of a heads up from Aaron, the actor, who's out on the streets right now, about who we're going to talk to. A gentleman named Evan, who's 21, who likes to hand out what kind of a Bible?
Recovery Bible.
Okay, and do you have any idea what a recovery Bible is?
Yeah, it's like a Bible. I mean, it was like enhanced footnotes. I didn't get the chance to look at it, but it's just mainly footnotes, like things that were lost or something like that. You could ask him. I mean, he's a better...
All righty. And they're from the Church of Mission Viejo.
Yes.
And they're out on the college campus, and it sounds like they make a pretty passionate effort to get the Recovery Bible put into people's hands, right?
Yes, seems that way to me.
So that's kind of their evangelism method.
I guess, but that's my opinion, which holds very little weight in the universe.
All right, dude. Let's have a chat with Evan.
Hey, Todd.
Hey, Evan. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How are you doing?
Tell me about the Recovery Bible. What is it?
The Recovery Bible. Well, what it is it explains each verse and gives spiritual revelation that has been revealed since Paul throughout the history of the church.
Okay. So when you say spiritual revelation, do you mean just people who have studied the scriptures and have gained insights from all of the years, or additional revelation?
It's revelation that has been built upon Paul's teaching and throughout the move of the church.
Okay, so for instance, what would be an example of that?
An example of what is in the Recovery Version?
Yeah, what would be one of these additional teachings since Paul? Can you give me a good example?
Since Paul, well, it built on the human spirit and how God himself, in the embodiment of Christ, through the life-giving spirit, lives in our spirit. And so by turning to our mingled spirit, we're able to experience Christ as life.
When you say mingled spirit, what does that mean?
That simply means just our human spirit mingled with the Lord's spirit.
Yeah, but what does mingled mean?
What's that?
What does mingled mean?
Mingled, blended as one.
Ah, all righty.
Mm-hmm.
So are you a little Jesus?
No, I'm not. I just have, when I turn to my spirit, I have God's life and nature, but not in the Godhead.
Okay. And so when you say that this is built on Paul's teachings, uh-huh, is it as authoritative as Scripture is, or these are just little footnotes, or is it actually just more Bible?
What's nice about it is it takes a verse and it gives you a viewpoint from the whole entire Bible and
yep.
How.
And who wrote those footnotes?
Witness Lee and other brothers.
Ah, okay. All righty, uh-huh. Got it. There we go.
Yeah.
Now we're finally getting someplace. Got it. Now, how did so as a follower of this religion, tell me then, how would I get to heaven, Evan?
I don't believe in any religion, because religion is simply a human organization. But I believe in an actual organism, which is Jesus Christ, and Jesus Christ, him becoming the life-giving spirit just by calling upon his name and believing in your heart and accepting him with your mouth will get you saved.
Is Jesus Christ God, in your opinion?
Yes.
He is?
Yes.
He's God, the life-giving spirit?
Yes. Through a process, God went through a process so he can become, so after his death and resurrection, he became the life-giving spirit. And
would I know that as the Holy Spirit?
The Holy Spirit, yes.
Ah, so here's what we've maybe stumbled onto. So let me guess. God is one. right? Yes?
Yes, God is one.
Yeah. And do you read the Old Testament, right?
Uh-huh.
And then he manifested himself as Jesus, correct?
Uh-huh.
And then he later, after he went back to heaven, then he manifested himself as the Holy Spirit. Is that it?
Yes, because he wanted to impart his life into his children.
Okay, so if I were invited to go to a party that God had thrown, could I go to this party and be in the same room with God the Father and God the Son and God the Holy Spirit all at the same time?
Well, yes. He is actually throwing a party, and it's in our mingled spirit.
Yeah.
But you can turn to your spirit and experience all three as one when you're in your spirit.
Okay. But is God three distinct persons yet one?
Yes. Well, three distinct expressions.
That's different. Wait a second. The word I'm emphasizing is persons. Is he three distinct persons?
No.
Okay, so you're a modalist then. And, dude, that was deemed a heresy 1,700 years ago.
Yeah. Yeah, I don't believe that. I misunderstood your question, because I do believe he is a triune God, and he became the Son, and then he became the Holy Spirit.
Be careful with your language, because if you say that he became this, then he became that, that's that modalist talk again. God is the Father, God is the Son, God is the Holy Spirit, always was, always will be.
Right.
Jesus didn't just show up for the first time 2,000 years ago. He always existed as the Son of God.
Yes.
Right?
Uh-huh.
Okay. So, dude, I'm an evangelical Christian, okay?
Mm-hmm.
Your language is different than mine, and I'm sometimes we can just talk in different words because we've been trained in different places, and that's okay.
Yeah.
But I'm trying to understand this mingling of the spirit business. Why is that language striking me as unusual?
Well, I could use a different word from mingling, combination, one, the unity of our spirit and his spirit.
That's even kind of unusual to me too, because I don't know of a Bible verse that says our spirit mingles with the Holy Spirit. I believe that God, when we repent and put our trust in the Savior, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit then comes and indwells us, controls us, runs us, grows us in holiness. But this language of mingling our spirits, I don't understand that. But maybe, maybe more important, Evan.
Mm-hmm.
Tell me in 20, you should be able to do this in 10 seconds. What must I do to be saved? Go.
Call on the name of Lord Jesus and believe in your heart that God raised him from the dead.
Why should I do that?
So you'll not have eternal damnation, but experience eternal life.
Why should I be damned? I don't get it.
Because we have sinned, and because of God's righteousness, we must repent of our sins and accept Jesus Christ, who is the only atonement for our sins.
And why?
So we can experience him as life. And he's the only thing that can satisfy us.
What about repentance?
Repentance is asking forgiveness for sin in our life.
Okay, and what about forsaking it? Is that a part of it?
I'm not sure what your question is.
Repentance, I believe, means recognizing that we're a sinner, we've broken God's law, we hate sin, we turn from it, we no longer love it, instead we turn to the Savior and we put our trust in him and him only.
Yes.
Is that what repentance is?
Uh-huh.
Uh-huh. All right. So I must repent and put my trust in the Savior because I'm a sinner. How do you know that I'm a sinner?
Well, the Spirit... The Lord's Spirit reveals that to you, that because we are blind from that until the Spirit reveals that to us, that we do sin, and that it is against God.
Okay. So, and would I know that through the Ten Commandments also, by looking at the Ten Commandments?
Mm-hmm.
All right. So the Recovery Bible, you're passing this out because you believe that it has good teachings from Watchman Nee. Is there anything distinct about your religion?
I don't believe that it's a religion, because we're all it's just an organic body.
Can somebody go to heaven without repenting and putting their trust in the Savior?
Through what the Word says? Yeah. No.
No. Okay. And so do you believe, though, that there's been the stuff that's in your Bible, your recovery Bible, do you believe that those notes are the same as Scripture, or they're just explanation notes for Scripture?
They're explanation notes for Scripture.
Okay. All right. So why are you going to heaven?
Well, because I have asked for forgiveness of the Father, and my sins have been cleared through Jesus Christ's washing of his blood.
Uh-huh. Mm-hmm. All right. And so all of your sins are completely, are they covered or are they completely forgiven?
They're completely forgiven. Because in the Old Testament, animal sacrifices just covered the sins.
Right.
But they didn't take them away completely. But only the blood of Jesus Christ can take them away completely.
All right. So when you die, you're going to heaven because you've repented and put your trust in the Savior, and he's graciously forgiven you. Is that correct?
Yes.
All right, dude. You're sure?
Yeah.
All right. Mm-hmm. Okay, dude. Hey, thanks very much for talking to me. I appreciate it very much.
Yeah, thank you.
Fascinating
thank you.
To learn from you. See you. Goodbye. Appreciate it very
okay,
much.
Bye.
Okay, this was fascinating to me. We want to make sure that our Trinitarian theology is sound, because if it's not, you don't have the right Jesus. You don't have your sins forgiven.
This is Wretched Radio.
My special guest today is Dr. John MacArthur. Sir, what is the issue with the Masters Academy International?
The issue with TMAI is very simple. Biblical training. Training men to be the kinds of pastors that are defined and described in the New Testament.
Fascinating, sir, but there are so many ministries who encourage us to do acts of charity internationally.
I mean, it's fine to support philanthropy or some feeding of poor people or caring for children that have needs. But at the end of the day, the impact on a nation has to come from the pastors and leaders. So investing in that is making the maximum investment for the maximum impact.
Thank you, Dr. MacArthur. We're all out of time, or I'd love to ask you more questions. If you would like to support the mission of the Masters Academy International, training indigenous pastors to be biblical expositors, changing nations, you can do that at wretched.org/pastor.
Thank you for joining us today. Glad you would spend part of it listening to us here at Wretched Radio. And thank you to those of you supporting our Millennial Initiative and our TV show, Road Trip to Truth. Road Trip to Truth will be hosted by John Fabares from college campuses. 26 episodes that will deal with the tough issues millennials struggle with. Issues like, why is there evil in this world? And we'll also be able to share the gospel with them. So for those of you who have been supporting Wretched and our Road Trip to Truth, thank you. If you would like to, go to wretched.org/donate and become a Wretched monthly gospel partner and help us preach the gospel to a very depressed, anxious, and lost generation. And Road Trip to Truth will give you an idea of how to share your faith with this younger generation. wretched.org/donate if you'd like to become a monthly gospel partner. wretched.org/donate. Wretched. Amazing grace. Amazing gospel.
If you have been looking for a reason to sponsor your very own Tomorrow Club in Eastern Europe, perhaps this story from Max, the national director in Ukraine, will inspire you to visit tomorrowclubs.org/wretched.
Arsen, just 5 years old, escaped his home and came to the camp. His grandmother would not let him. She was cursing all Christians. His grandmother sadly passes away. So he kept coming. Not only that, he brought his parents and they repented. So this family gives the house where the grandma used to live to the church. And that's where the Tomorrow Club meets.
And that story is not a one-off. Families getting saved constantly through the Tomorrow Clubs in Eastern Europe. Would you please consider supporting your own Tomorrow Club? 30 disciples, $30 per month. TomorrowClubs.org/wretched.
Titles of Christ. In the Bible, Jesus is given many titles that teach us about who he is and what he has done. Jesus is called the Good Shepherd. A Good Shepherd protects, directs, provides, and cares for his sheep. Jesus laid down his life for his sheep. No one can snatch them out of his hand.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Alrighty, dude, where are you right now?
I'm at a Saddleback College. I'm in the cafeteria. I found a nice gentleman. His name's David. And I told him, you know, we'll talk about some spiritual things, and it was okay. His background is he grew up in a Christian home, but his family were very Christian. And but right now, he doesn't really know what he believes. He's kind of agnostic. Doesn't know, you know, doesn't like the idea of a religion that you have to choose one thing or the other, but he doesn't really know. But when he dies, he asks, what do you believe? He says, I believe in heaven and hell.
That's a start.
Here's David.
Thank you. Mm-hmm. Brimming with knowledge.
Hello?
Hey, David, how you doing?
Doing pretty good. How about yourself?
Well, thanks for joining us on the radio. I understand regarding spiritual stuff, you're a bit of an agnostic. Is that correct, sir?
I guess you could say that.
Yeah. Not an atheist, though, huh?
No.
Do you know the difference between an atheist and an agnostic?
Not really sure, no. I mean, I know that an atheist does not believe in a god, but not really sure what an agnostic is. I just haven't really tried to label myself as anything.
Well, an agnostic, you are correct with the atheist. By strict definition, the definitive claim, there is no god. An agnostic believes there could be, I just don't know.
Okay.
Does that sound like you?
No, I believe in a god.
You do.
Believe in God.
Okay. Who do you think it is?
I think it's a higher being. I was raised in a Christian home, so, I mean, I do have some Christian basis to some of my beliefs, which, I mean, I do believe in God and that he created the earth and whatnot.
Okay.
So, I mean, what he is, I don't know, but...
But you believe there's a creator?
Yes.
Do you believe in Jesus Christ?
Yes, I do.
You do? Well, that's a lot, you know.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because to say that you believe in Jesus Christ, that has an awful lot of implications to it. That means you reject every other religious worldview, right?
Well, not necessarily. I mean, I believe that maybe Jesus Christ did come down to this earth, but he may not necessarily be exactly what the Catholic and Christian religions, you know, have made him out to be.
Okay.
As, you know, an actual son of God. But, I mean, I believe that somebody in history did come down onto this earth and may have said or done some of the things that are stated in the Bible.
Yeah. Now, I'm not trying to poke you in the eye with this one, David.
But, no problem.
But to state that I believe in Jesus, but I'm not exactly sure if he came down to earth and did the things that he said, I think then, according to Jesus' own words, you really don't believe in him.
Okay.
Because he made such audacious claims about himself, mm-hmm. and what his purpose was on this earth. And mm-hmm. so, and to say, well, I kind of, you know, maybe sort of, he talks in very radical terms. For instance, he says, if you want to follow after me, deny yourself, pick up your cross, come after me. Your love for your family, for your own life, should seem like hatred by comparison to your love for him. It's a radical belief in Jesus Christ that is acceptable to him. Anything less, he says, nope, you're not in the kingdom.
Okay. Well, see, that's, I mean, this is where my viewpoint starts to change. And that's where I think, you know, well, how do I know for myself that he said those exact words?
That's
All I know
a
is that they are
question.
Down... They are down in what we call the Bible.
Yeah.
And but then again, he did not write the Bible. Somebody else did. And it's somebody else's interpretation of what they said.
Yeah.
And
yeah.
I don't mean to go out on a huge limb here, but I mean, who's to say that, you know, the whole Christian foundation is not just a conspiracy by some people creating something to try and make people believe one thing.
That's very fair. Can I tackle that for you really quickly?
Go ahead.
You believe that God created the world. Is that correct?
Mm-hmm.
That is a pretty powerful being that can do that. Fair enough?
Mm-hmm.
If God can create an entire universe, which is beyond our comprehension big, do you think it's mm-hmm. possible that that same God has enough power to communicate his thoughts to us in a text that is not corrupted?
Yes.
Okay. So he claims that he inspired the Bible. He caused holy men to write down what he wanted them to write without violating his personality. So they wrote this down, and those would be considered the original manuscripts. From those, we have thousands of copies. Now, we don't have the originals, but we have thousands of copies to compare one to another. And the Bible, without a doubt, David, is the most historically accurate book in all of antiquity. Now, it doesn't prove that it's true, but you can rely on the fact that what you have in front of you today is exactly what was written down 2,000 years ago.
Okay.
Because, yes, there are different translations, but they're only different in use of language. For instance, one Bible doesn't say, repent and trust Jesus Christ, and the other one says, become a Buddhist. I mean, it's not, you know, there's not differences like that. Fair enough? Mm-hmm.
Yes, I agree with you on that. But at the same time, you know, you said, you know, what I have written down in front of me is the same thing that was written down back in those times, whatever date that was. But then again, that was something that was written down by a person.
Right.
And, I mean, it is possible, like you said, that a being of such high power could influence somebody without having it being corrupted.
Yeah.
But at the same time, I don't know that for sure.
Right. But here's where you have to be careful, though, with your thought line here. And that is to make the claim that it is possible that mistakes were made or errors were injected or people influenced the different translations, that is not the same as it did happen, because we don't have any proof that that happened. To the contrary, we have nothing but thousands of manuscripts that say, nope, we got the right book here.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Now, I want to do something with you, if you would be patient with me, David.
That's fine.
I want to read a very small section of the Bible for you. All right?
Okay.
Two men went up to the temple to pray, one a Pharisee and the other a tax collector. The Pharisee stood and prayed like this, God, I thank you I'm not like these other men, extortioners, unjust adulterers, or even that guy, that tax collector. I fast twice a week, I give tithes of all that I possess, and that tax collector standing way over there, he wouldn't as much as raise his eyes to heaven, but he beat his chest saying, God, be merciful to me, a sinner. I tell you, this man went down to his house justified rather than the proud man, for everyone who exalts himself will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. That's Jesus Christ telling that story. David, I got a question for you.
What's that?
Would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Yes, I would.
Okay. Here's then the problem with what you just said and what this Bible verse by Jesus says.
Mm-hmm.
He who exalts himself by saying something like, I'm a good person, will be humbled, and he who humbles himself will be exalted. So all of a sudden, we've got ourselves a little conflict here. We've got some tension here. You're saying that you're a good person, and Jesus saying, I'm going to humble you if that's your opinion.
Okay. I mean, you're asking me if I feel that I'm a good person. I mean, if I were to ask you the same question right back to you, do you feel that you're a good person? Would you say, no, I think I'm a horrible person?
No, I would have said the exact same thing you said before I was a Christian. Absolutely. I would have, because you and I we're exactly the same.
Mm-hmm.
Every one of us likes to proclaim our own goodness. We think we're good because we compare ourselves to our classmates, the people we live next to. We're good compared to people. But what Jesus encourages us to do is to compare ourselves to him and himself, and his own standard. And when we compare ourselves to Jesus, to God, the Ten Commandments, that's when we go, uh-oh, I'm not good at all.
Mm-hmm.
Let me see. There's something that might help you all of a sudden make this a little bit more reasonable. Take the Ten Commandments and apply it to yourself. For instance, the Ten Commandments say that God is supposed to be the centerpiece of our life, that we should love him completely and totally. David, have you spent your entire life loving God more than anything else in the whole world?
No.
Uh-oh. Have you ever taken his name in vain?
Yes.
Blasphemy. Have you ever looked at a woman and had a sexual thought about her?
Yes.
Adultery of the heart. Have you ever desired something that didn't belong to you?
Yes.
You're a coveter by nature. Have you told a lie?
Yes.
The Bible would state then very clearly, all liars will have their part in the lake of fire. Okay, so, David, let's say you die. You stand before God. You've broken his laws. Is he going to go, oh, you're a good guy? Or is he going to say, you're a lawbreaker? What do you think God will say?
I think he could say that you're a lawbreaker to anybody that comes to his gate.
You're exactly right, because nobody does good, no, not one. So, David, if you're a lawbreaker, like the rest of us, should God take you to heaven or should God send you to hell?
I think he should take me to heaven.
But you're a lawbreaker.
I know that.
Lawbreakers should be punished, not rewarded.
And by the Christian faith, you know, accepting Jesus Christ would be the way to get rid of these laws that you've broken.
But you must repent and put your trust in him completely, totally, and fully. And repent means to turn from and forsake your sins and put your trust in him, dead to yourself, so that he might make you alive. So, David, if you're kind of in wishy-washy land, and I, you know, hey, everybody's got to figure stuff out, but if you're on the fence, you're not just kind of straddling it, you're against him. You must surrender to him. So, dude, all I can do is challenge you to think so clearly about this, because he said he's the only way to have your sins forgiven. So let me encourage you, think about the law, think about your conscience, and think about the Savior dying on the cross. Repent and put your trust in the Savior, then you'll know for sure. Fair enough?
This is Wretched Radio.
Names of God. We learn a lot about God from the names given to him in Scripture. The first name given to God is Elohim in Genesis chapter 1, verse 1. In the beginning, God created the heavens and the earth. Elohim is a plural noun, but the verb created is singular. God is plural in personhood, but singular in being. The Creator God is the triune Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
So, Trish, did you find a young person or any person
actually,
for that matter?
Yeah, Todd, actually, we're going to do something. We're live on the air right now, and I've got four young gentlemen. How old are you guys?
18.
18? All of you 18. Okay. What are your names?
18.
I've got Zach with me.
Trey.
What is it? Okay. And I've got Joy. So I've got four young guys. I want to ask them a quick question, if you don't mind.
No, I'll tell you what, Trish, you do it. It's easier that way. Just to make sure you use the telephone to get it close to their mouth as much as you can, okay?
Okay, so I'm talking on the cell phone right now, and I want you guys to just act like it's an actual microphone. So can you do that? Talk loudly into the mic. So we'll start with you, okay? I'm going to ask you guys just a quick question. What do you think about people, you know, we're talking about spiritual things today. I don't know if they filled you in on that. And the show usually was in Southern California, but now we've taken it out to Texas. Okay, so this is kind of neat. We want to see what you guys think.
Woman details.
Basically, here's the question: what do you think about people with narrow minds in a sense of telling people like, hey, if you don't believe a certain way, this is going to happen to you. If you don't believe in a certain way, you'd maybe go to hell. Or if you don't believe in this, what do you guys think of that type of thought? Are you for that, or are you not? Let me hear what you have to say.
What was that?
I think it's stupid because, like, you shouldn't tell other people what to do. Like, you should just do whatever you want.
Okay. I appreciate that. Okay, let me ask you, what do you think about that?
Well, I have a girl in one of my classes, and she tells me all the time that I'm going to go to hell for what I think, and most of the time it's nothing at all, and she just, you know, it kind of gets on my nerves when someone's narrow-minded like that and they have a one-track mind telling people to go to hell just because they're not the way they are.
So. I appreciate that. And you?
I think it's really hypocritical because there's so many conflicting beliefs that nobody knows what's right.
And you?
I think it's kind of unfair because, you know, your parents, they kind of guide you, you know, to what religion or whatever you believe. And, you know, what if you believe the wrong thing? Like, if you grow up a Mormon, are you going to go to hell? If you grow up, you know, a Baptist, you know, it's not, I mean, it's what you believe. I think it's unfair, you know, to try to believe one thing and, you know, be on that certain path.
So were you raised like a certain religion?
I was raised non-denominational Christian, but I think you have to be open-minded and, you know, believe for yourself, you know.
Like Jesus.
And what about you? Were you raised a certain religion?
Well, I was raised Christian until I was about 8 years old, and then I just stopped going to church because my parents stopped trying to influence me, and I kind of just developed my own beliefs.
Okay, so are you all out of school? Have you all graduated? No, you're all seniors. And so, well, you're out of school now, right? You did not ditch anything. Okay, good. Just want to okay, and you, what about you? How do you feel about that? I mean, were you raised a certain religion, denomination, Hindu, Mormon, Buddhist?
I was Christian, and the same thing as Kyle. My parents just stopped going, having an influence on me, and it just stopped happening. I get on to my parents all the time just to go with me to church.
Okay, and last, you.
I was raised Christian too, but I always tried to like rebel against it. Like, I never wanted to go, and I would always say it was wrong. Like, I don't know. I just try to argue with people.
Okay, and I've got you over here kind of like giving them like a yay signal for rebellion, right? Tell me why. Why is it that you wanted to rebel against it? You said you were raised Christian. Why is it?
Because I just never wanted to be told what to believe. I wanted to figure it out for myself. Like,
okay, well, do you guys mind if I ask you, I'll give you $20, let's put it this way, real $20, if you guys can pass the good person test, would all of you like to take it quickly? Or just one of you or both of you, you're nodding your head, would you all do it real fast? Okay, come in close, real close. Okay, I'm gonna just ask you, starting with the first question, okay? Have you ever told a lie?
Yes. Yes.
Yes.
Yes.
Okay, have you ever stolen anything? Value is irrelevant.
Yes.
Yep.
Yes.
Yes.
So I've got some honest liars here. You guys are honest liars. Okay. Okay, well, dishonored your mother and father at any time in your life. Ever dishonored your parents?
Of course. Depends on what you mean by dishonored.
Yes. Yes.
Okay, well, I appreciate you guys. Let me ask you this one, because this is the one that gets a lot of people, and it's pretty serious, okay? Have you ever blasphemed the name of the Lord thy God? You guys know what that means, the blaspheme. Basically, this is what it means. It's to take God's holy name, the one who gave you breath, who gave you life, and use it as a filthy cuss word, like kind of like, you know, when you've heard people take Jesus Christ's name in vain at movies, you know, they just kind of, why don't they say, ah, Buddha? Have you ever thought about that? Or ah, Muhammad? Why don't they say that? But they take Jesus Christ's name. It's pretty interesting, okay? Have you guys ever done that, taking the Lord's name in vain, or just kind of flippantly used it and not really thought about it?
Yeah.
And that's blasphemy. That's pretty serious, you guys. I'm not going to ask you all that, but that's serious in God's sight. And this is another one that's very serious. I don't know if you guys, if I'm bringing you through the Ten Commandments, if you haven't noticed. I don't know if you all have heard of thou shalt not commit adultery. Now, none of you are married, right? Right? Not yet, right? Okay, but Jesus said in the New Testament, if you even look upon a person to lust after them, you've already committed adultery in your heart, and it's pretty serious, guys, because God's not concerned with what man's concerned. You got your cool jacket on and your hat backwards, right? But you know, and people might think, hey, you know, you're good looking or whatever, but God doesn't care about that, really, how you look outwardly. He's concerned with the inward man. I'm getting that from 1 Samuel 16:7. Have any of you ever done that, looked upon somebody to lust after them in a way that is not right?
Yes. Several times.
Yes.
Yes.
Guys, honestly, if God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, by those things, if you were to die tonight, who drove here? Did someone drive here? You did. If you were to drive tonight, if you guys left, you jumped in his car, you just thought, hey, we're going back to his house to do whatever, and you guys were to get hit by somebody. You know, it's not out of the question. You guys are young. You don't know when you're going to die, right? It can happen. But if you were to die tonight and God was to judge you by the Ten Commandments, where do you think you'd go? If he was to judge you by those things, and you guys have admitted that you're liars, you're thieves, you're adulterers at heart, and it's serious, and you've committed blasphemy, where would you go?
If he was going by that, I'd probably go to hell. I'd probably be joining Jerry there and going to hell.
I'd probably say I'm going to hell also.
I'll be with the rest of them going to hell.
Now, guys, I know that maybe you're just, you know, I don't know if you're disagreeing. I don't know if there's maybe just one leader here and you're agreeing with them, but it's pretty serious. Like, do you guys think about that? Does it concern you? Because I asked you a question earlier, you know, about narrow-minded people, and I'm kind of one of those people, and Jesus Christ was too, because he said in one of the verses in the Bible, these were his words, John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life, right? I'm the only way to God. You know, you won't have the Father unless you have the Son, and that's very narrow, and all of you guys said earlier that you don't really like that. But I've got to tell you guys something. Do you know what God did for you so that you wouldn't have to go to hell? You know, any of you?
Yes.
Let me hear that again.
He gave his Son.
Yeah, absolutely. That if you guys repent of your sins, I don't know what's going on in your lives or what you do together when you hang out or things like that, but if there are things in your lives that are not pleasing to God, you guys got to repent of them. Do you know what that means? You do. You're all nodding your head. Can you give one of you want to give me a good definition? Repent.
Say that you've done wrong and admit that you're going to do right the next time, like you try to.
What about you?
Ask for forgiveness for your sins.
Yeah, repentance kind of is like this. You're going in one direction and you're maybe fornicating, which means you're having sex before marriage. We know that that's wrong. It's not pleasing in God's sight. You know, looking at pornography. I mean, whatever it may be, cussing, dishonoring your parents, it's not pleasing in God's sight. You know, and God is a righteous, holy judge, and we will all give an account to him. We're all going to stand before him, not with our buddies, not with our friends, not with our good grades or whatever it is. We're all going to stand and give an account. This is the thing, guys. I may never see you again. I appreciate you all stopping and doing this on a whim like this. I'm crazy. This crazy lady comes up to you, and you're all laughing. I'm like, but I appreciate your honesty. And guys, you know, Jesus Christ came to this earth. God the Father sent him. He died on the cross for sinners. Have you ever heard that, you know, he's the perfect Lamb of God who takes away the sins of the world? He didn't do any wrong, and he didn't deserve to go to the cross, but he willingly laid down his life. If we repent of our sins, those things in your life, just put them away, guys. Trust in the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, he died on the cross. He rose from the grave. He lives today. He's not dead. He lives today. Does that make sense, you guys? I mean, what do you think about it? Did you think you'd come to the mall today and, like, talk about these things?
No, not at all. It's kind of weird, actually. I mean, but it's a big deal. I mean, everybody, you know, you need to think about that. But
see, guys, it doesn't matter if you're raised in church. Okay, it doesn't. I don't care what denomination you grew up in or what church you grew up in. You're not safe. Going to church doesn't make you a Christian. Just like living in a garage doesn't turn you into a nice car. Okay, you need to have a personal relationship with Jesus Christ. The Word of God says that you must be born again. Do you know what that means? Born again doesn't mean that Zach, you're going to go back in your mom's womb and, you know, you're just going to come out again, right? No, it actually means you're changed, basically changed from above. Okay, the desires that you once had to cuss, to maybe have sex before marriage, look at things that you shouldn't be looking at, those things change. You now have a different taste, a different desire, and it's for holy things. It's to live for the Lord. You want to read your word. You want to preach the gospel to people like I am right now. I just love to talk about the Lord, not because I get paid for it, not because I get great rewards for it, just because I love Jesus. Does that kind of make sense? What do you think? What do you think about this?
Well, it's all what you believe, and you try to influence people. And yeah, it concerns me, but going to hell, burning in a fiery pit.
Yeah. Well, the Word of God is true, and, you know, either God is true or he's a liar, and, you know, the Bible's the only book that makes solid conditions like that, that basically there's heaven or hell, you know, that hell is a fiery place where the worm never dies and there's endless torment. What about you?
Oh, well, I definitely did not expect coming here and being on the radio and all, but it definitely has changed my outlook and how I'm going to live my life and what I'm going to do every Sunday.
Well then, eavesdropper, what about you? Went to church all your life, you've never repented and put your trust in the Savior. Today is a day of salvation.
This is Wretched Radio. Ultrasound machines save lives. Don't believe me? Then believe Dan Steiner of preborn.org.
That young woman come in, 18, with her boyfriend, and he's pushing her to abort, took her back into the ultrasound room. There's two hearts. It's twins. The father looks at that, this 19-year-old guy. He goes, I don't know what we're going to do, but I know what we're not going to do. We're not going to kill those two babies.
Ultrasounds work. When a mommy, a daddy sees a picture of their baby in the womb, 80% of the time they choose life. It is $28 per ultrasound. May I ask, how many ultrasounds could you provide? $28 per month. Please note, whilst Preborn is busy trying to save the lives of babies, they're trying to save the souls of mommies and daddies by preaching the gospel. Please consider supporting Preborn at preborn.org/wretched, preborn.org/wretched.
Road Trip to Truth with our host John Fabares is Wretched's next TV series. 26 episodes that go right into the lion's den, secular university campuses. See, we want to reach this generation with this TV show aimed directly at millennials. And this program will also share the gospel with millions. Millions. It's only because of your support of Wretched that allows us to do what we do here every single day. So if you're already supporting Wretched, thank you very much. We are extremely grateful. If you're not supporting Wretched, would you prayerfully consider giving a tax-deductible gift to Wretched on, say, a monthly basis? Not only would you be helping us keep the lights on, but you'd help us reach this anxious, depressed, and lost generation with the gospel. Visit wretched.org/donate to become a Wretched Gospel Partner and join us on our road trip to truth. That's wretched.org/donate.
Please, would you please consider sending as many Bibles as you can through Bible League International to the persecuted church?
Aria was raised in a strict Muslim family. A woman invited her to a Bible study. She accepted Jesus as Lord and Savior. She took her Arabic New Testament home. She hid it. Her mother was rummaging through the house, found this, gave it to her father. He called the authorities to report her as an infidel. They tortured her, did the same thing to the Christian friend. These two women have been instrumental through their suffering to lead about 50 people to Christ.
And they would love a Bible. Would you please consider sending as many as you are able to through Bible League International, $5 for a Bible to a persecuted Christian. Perhaps 6 per month? Wretched.org/Bible, wretched.org/Bible.
Books of the Bible. Nahum, whose name means the Lord comforts, brought a message of comfort to God's people and a prophecy against Nineveh. Nineveh was a powerful city, but they were no match for God. He punished them severely for their wickedness. When you see evil or are tempted towards evil, remember that there are only two possible outcomes, repentance or destruction.
This is Wretched Radio with Todd Friel.
Trish is in Dallas. How you doing, partner?
Hi, I'm actually in Fort Worth in a city called Keller.
Uh-oh, is it one of those deals? Is that kind of like Minneapolis, St. Paul? So yeah, I was just wondering if people have that attitude, like you say, I'm in Fort Worth, and they say, oh, well, I'm from Dallas. You know, if it's one of those deals.
No, I haven't noticed anything yet.
Okay, just curious. All right, so where are you in Fort Worth?
Well, I'm out in front of an LA Fitness. I know it sounds crazy, but I thought, you know, I'm just going to go inside real quick, check just to make sure everything was fine, and then ask the guy at the front desk, you know, if he'd want to be on the radio, and I did. And, you know, Todd, one of the things that I have been concerned about living here in this Dallas area is that I'm going to run into everybody that is a Christian, or at least claims to be, or has a lingo and maybe isn't. But this guy, his name is Joe. He's a young kid. He's 19 years old. He goes to a local college in this area. He works at the front desk at LA Fitness, was raised in a Baptist church. And I said, Joe, are you going? Are you attending? Are you practicing? He said, no, not at all. I haven't been to church in about 5 years.
Oops.
I said, he's like, what kind of questions are they going to ask me, Trish? I said, well, they're probably going to ask you spiritual questions. This is a segment on spirituality. If you were to die tonight, Joe, where would you go? He goes, I'd go to hell right now. I know that. I said, okay, hang on. Don't tell me anymore. I don't want to give anything else away. You're going to be on the air in a few seconds.
Wowza. All right.
So this is Joe, and he's ready to go.
Okay, now before you pass the phone, even though this individual has made that claim,
yeah.
I've learned from experience that people can say that, but then when you press them on it, it's like, well, so we're still going to spend some time to make sure that he understands why. Because some people will think I'm going to hell, and they just think God is a great big cosmic meanie. Don't
right.
want that either.
That's right. That's right.
All right. So let's have a chat with Joe.
Okay, Todd.
Backslidden Baptist. Fort
okay.
Worth
I'm going to, we're going to come inside. He's too cold. He says he's too cold to stand outside, so I'm not going to torture him. Here's Joe, Todd. You're speaking with Todd live on the air.
Okay. Hello?
Hey, dude. How you doing?
I'm on. How you guys doing?
What's the temperature there?
About 31 degrees.
Oh, that is pretty chilly for Texas, isn't
and
it?
With the rain and a little bit of wind.
Yeah, that can make for some snarly driving down there. Hey, Joe, so you're kind of a backslidden Baptist, is that correct?
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, how come?
I mean, I don't know what it just. I can't say I've been busy, but I just haven't gone to church. I've been doubting it a lot.
You've been doing what a lot?
I've been doubting it a lot in the past couple of years.
Doubting what?
The whole religion thing.
Okay. Yeah.
Just I've been having doubts.
Well, I think it's good that a young man at your age figures stuff out. Because I think that a person goes from being a child to being a man and should think about manly things and big things and eternal things, because you now have the ability, I think, to understand things fully.
Mm-hmm.
So, Joe, that young lady said, if you died, where would you go? And you said?
Hell.
Why?
Everything the Bible says is true, the life I've been living is not the one that God wants.
Okay. So like does it come down to you believing the Bible is true or not?
It's, to me, I've been thinking a lot of it's been fabricated, and just not a lot of it is true to me.
All right.
So a lot of it just falls on the mold that society has anyway, and it could just be run up on that.
Okay. So if I can prove to you beyond the shadow of a doubt that the book hasn't been fabricated, does that mean you'd fall to your knees, repent, and put your trust in Jesus Christ?
Right now, probably.
All right. So what is the level of evidence that I need to provide for you so we can establish that up front?
I couldn't tell you.
Do you need...
I'm sorry?
Okay, so for me to take a shot at it, Joe, without having at least some sort of bar that I must meet the standard of, we got it. Let's figure out what that is so that, hey, if I can't provide you that information, I can't provide it for you. But let's, God needs to come out of the sky and say, Joe, I wrote that book. You can believe it. Is that what you're looking for?
I guess pretty much I do need some kind of physical evidence, but I do know that in the Bible you have to saw on blind faith, even if you believe it.
Well, no, faith is hope in things that are unseen, but it's not blind check your noggin at the door type of faith. So you want some physical evidence. Okay, what else do you need?
I don't know. I mean,
this? Go ahead. How's about this, Joe? How's about if I could share with you that this book is absolutely, positively the exact same book that was written 2,000 years ago? Would that be helpful for you?
Yeah.
All right. So I've got manuscript evidence and physical evidence written down. What else do you need?
I don't know. I mean, just basically the only thing I'm really is questioning about is everything in the Bible that I've read is based on society's views anyway. Like a lot of the Ten Commandments, everything that's been written is based on society's morals to begin with. Like,
how do you know that?
Because as people, we are able to think and act for ourselves. We know what is right or wrong.
Okay, this is a chicken or the egg, though, Joe. How do you know that society came up with the rules first and the Bible copied them as opposed to the Bible writing them down and society following them?
Because, I've seen some documentaries where they can put like two people in an island together without any views on society, any interference, and still have the same morals of right or wrong.
I have a biblical explanation for you, and this will be supernatural proof for you, okay? This will not be the thrust of my argument, but it will be an argument nevertheless.
Okay.
The reason that that is true and that societies all pretty much agree that lying is bad, stealing is bad, murder is bad, sex out of marriage, bad, 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 is because the Bible says there is a conscience that every human being has where they know the difference between right and wrong. And the fact that universally we can agree that even one thing is wrong indicates that there is a moral lawgiver. Because, Joe, if there wasn't a moral lawgiver, we would all just look at a man raping a 6-year-old child and say, that's different. But right away we all go, that's wrong. And that means that there is a rule giver.
Right.
Okay?
All right. I see where you're going with that.
All right. Physical evidence that God exists. Here it is, dude. Are you ready for this?
Yes, sir.
Touch yourself. Grab your... You're it, man. You're the physical evidence. You're it. You are so intricately designed that there is no way that you could have evolved out of a primordial ooze. And this is what the Bible says. This is kind of a poetic way of putting it. The heavens declare the glory of God day after day. They speak without saying a word. God has given you an intricately designed universe so that you can look around and go, yeah, somebody had to make this thing. Because, Joe, if I said to you at that health club, nobody built those pieces of equipment in there. They just, there was a big explosion on this spot, and all that Nautilus equipment just fell into place just the way that it is. You'd go, that's crazy. And the same thing is true with this universe. There's no way it blew up and became ordered. It had to be designed. Your physical evidence that there is a God is the universe itself. Fair enough?
Yes, sir. I feel you. I'm not sure where you're going.
Do you agree, though?
Yes, sir.
Okay. Manuscript evidence that this Bible is reliable. Do you believe that Julius Caesar existed?
Yes.
Okay. Why?
It's been documented. We learned about it in school. It's just...
Yeah.
There's document writings on his existence in his own writing.
Okay. Well, you're close. There's documents, but they're not in his own writing. All right? The reality is the documents that we have talking about Julius Caesar and his Gallic Wars that he supposedly penned, the manuscripts that we have are 1,000 years after the date that they actually happened. You got that? 1,000 years. Do you know how many mistakes could have been entered in over the course of 1,000 years? A lot. Do you know how many manuscripts we have of the Gallic Wars?
How many?
About 20, I think, give or take. Wow. About 20 different manuscripts, 1,000 years old. All right, let me tell you about the New Testament. You know what that is, right?
Yes, sir.
All right, the New Testament that we have manuscripts that were within 30 years, at least little fragments of it, at least within 30 years, and within 100 years. Do you know how many manuscripts that we have?
Hundreds.
Thousands. Thousands, sorry? Dude. Thousands. Thousands. You believe in Julius Caesar because somebody in school told you that he existed, and we only have 20 manuscripts 1,000 years old. You've got a New Testament that has thousands of manuscripts that were written way closer to the actual events. And when you take the manuscripts that weren't written in Greek, you've got about 25,000. The Bible that we have, dude, is the one that was written 2,000 years ago. All right. Now, Joe, I'm going to make a prediction right now, okay? Are you still with me,
okay,
dude?
Yes, sir.
All right. Here's what I've just tried to do. Show you that there's physical evidence and show you that there's manuscript evidence. But if I were a betting man, Joe, you're still not ready to fall to your knees, are you?
Right.
You're not ready to do it, are you?
Right. I mean, I've had people do this plenty of times, try to.
Yeah. Because I can't reason you into the kingdom, and here's why. Joe, would you consider yourself to be a good person?
Oh, yes, sir.
There you go. That's the reason right there. Joe, this is why you're not a Christian. You disagree with God. He says you're a bad person, and you think you're a good person, and you have no need for a Savior. You have no need for that Baptist business. You have no need for the Bible. You have no need for the church because you think you're a good guy, and if you died, if that God does exist, he's going to be thrilled to pieces with Joe. Uh-huh. There's the crux of the issue right there.
Wow, yeah.
Yeah. Hey, Joe?
Yes, sir.
You don't have to tell me what they are, but are there sins in your life that you're really liking right now?
Sins?
Yeah. Sex, drinking, drugs, partying, playing.
Oh,
pornography.
Oh no, I don't drink, I don't smoke, no drugs. I mean,
sex.
No, I'm not doing that right now.
Mm-hmm. There's something there that you're holding on to because you like your sin more than you like being saved. Hey, dude, I appreciate you talking to me today. Okay.
No problem.
It's always the issue: sins and pride. Trish will talk to him.
Until next time, go serve your King.